1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6. Paul writes, "Your glorying is not good, knowing ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Well, we're looking at this idea of, in the Bible, what the Bible says Christ is to us as His people. And so far, we have seen that Christ is our foundation, our hope, our refuge, our righteousness, our strength, our food, our portion, our song, our supply, our treasure, our shield, and our light. And so tonight we come to another one of these passages where the Bible tells us that Christ is our Passover. We're currently in adult Sunday school class in the auditorium. We are currently working our way through 1 Corinthians, and I think it was Jason who taught a lesson a couple of weeks ago that included this passage. What we're going to do tonight is focus on where Paul says that Christ is our Passover, that is sacrificed for us. The question is, what does that mean? What does it mean that Christ is our Passover? Well, to get the proper meaning, we have to get into the context of what Paul is writing. And so that's what we want to do here tonight. We sort of want to try to find out what it means to us when the Bible says that Christ is our Passover. So contextually, chapter 5 is where Paul is rebuking. It's a letter of rebuke to the church at Corinth for their tolerating, chapter 5, they're tolerating sin in the church. They're not dealing with a man in the church for some reason. We don't know what reason they're not dealing with him, but they're not dealing with a man in the church who is having an ongoing sexual relationship with a stepmother and is unrepentant over it. They were not only tolerating this sin in the church, but they seemed to be glorying in it. Seems like they were proud of the fact that they were tolerant. And they were putting themselves in a position of failure to take action. They just failed to take action against this man. And Paul writes to them that they should be taking action and they should not be tolerating this sin in the church. So Paul urges them to take action in the form of church discipline. The church, Paul says, is to put this man outside of the church if he continues to be unrepentant. And each individual of the church is not to have any further contact with this one who is unrepentant, who still insists that he is a brother in Christ. So in explaining the idea of Christ being our Passover, let me try to organize my thoughts under three headings. And let's begin with the separation that was commanded. The separation that was commanded. There's a principle for us to look at in verse number 6. There's something here that we should know, that we should be aware of. The question is asked, know ye not, Do you not know that just a little leaven will leaveneth the entire lump? A little bit will affect the whole. Or as the Osmonds told us back in the 70s, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. That's what he's saying. If you tolerate and if you let a little lump of evil in your church, don't be surprised if it corrupts your entire church. Say amen. If you let evil in one part of your life, don't be surprised if it affects every part of your life. Right? Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So Jason reminded us in Sunday school that in those days, they made dough to make bread. But they would put leaven into the dough to be a starter for the loaf. In those days, when a person would bake dough, they would get the dough all ready. They would put it all together, put it in whatever pan they were going to bake it in, and they would always save a piece off of it. And so they had this whole pile of dough, and one part was held back. And that one little piece that they held back was rolled into a ball and it was put into water, and that was the leaven. And over a period of time, that would sour in the water and then it would be taken out, and they started to make new bread. They would put that piece into the new bread as a starter, and the sourdough would be used to permeate the entire new bread to get it started. That was leaven. So leaven has the idea of influencing the whole. A little leaven influences the whole. But leaven mainly, I think, has the idea of something in the past being brought into something in the present. Something in the past is being brought into something in the present. So the idea, I think, is that there are things that existed in the old life of the Israelites, but they were not to bring those things into the new life. Leaven then means the pattern of behavior, the sins of your former life. So now that you're a new Christian, now that you're a child of God, you're supposed to be an unleavened Christian. Say amen. Unleavened Christian. That is, you don't have any little leftover from the old life as a starter for your new life. Your life is to be unleavened, Paul says. So Paul tells the church in this passage, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. So the starter is to be removed so that it doesn't corrupt the new life. No place in the church for any of the old life. Say amen. No place in the church for old life behaviors. Immorality, idolatry, whatever they are, the things of the previous life are not to be carried over into our new life in the church. So that's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's exactly what that verse means, that we are to leave off the old and not drag it into the new. So the principle here is that the sins of the old life are not to be brought into the new life in Christ, or else it will influence all of our life and it will influence negatively the entire church. So therefore, we cannot tolerate them, and by all means, we can't glory in them. We have to purge them. And so, firstly, we see here the idea of the separation that is commanded. You know that a little leaveneth, leaveneth the whole lump, so do not let this little leaven do its work of influencing the whole. Make sure you don't bring into the present what you had in the past. Say amen. Number two, the separation that is confirmed. So I get that. I get what Paul says up to that point. I understand that. But what I have to ask is, why does Paul then, on the heels of that, include this reference to Christ? Because Paul says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Why does Paul now bring that into the picture when he's talking about being separated, right? Separated from past life in a new life? Well, when we look at that idea of Christ being our Passover, we immediately think about, and it immediately references back to, the book of Exodus. When God told Israel that it was time for them to leave Egypt, He gave them a feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. Now here was the problem with the Israelites. How long had they been in Egypt? Over 400 years. They were a part of Egypt, and Egypt was a part of them. They were integrated into the life of Egypt, and the life of Egypt was integrated into them. They were slaves, and slaves think like slaves and act like slaves and live like slaves. But they weren't going to be slaves anymore. God was going to deliver them and give them freedom to worship Him. So you can't be dragging that attitude and that behavior into a new life. Say amen. You can't act like a slave in a free life. So God tells them that it's time for them to leave, and they need to be separated from Egypt. They no longer need to be in Egypt. They need to be free from that influence. And the final act of separation comes on the Passover. You'll remember the Passover. God instructed the people of Israel to put blood on the doorpost. And as the angel of death passed over that night, he would pass over the Israelites if they had the blood of the Lamb applied to their doorpost. But the angel of death that night slaughtered the firstborn throughout Egypt. So there is God. God's making a separation, right? The blood separates His people from the others. And so this sacrifice of the Lamb symbolizes the separation of Israel from Egypt. The sacrifice of Christ, then, is the separation of the believer from the world. Say amen. When Christ dies for us and is sacrificed for us, we are being separated from the world. Say amen. We are saved from the world and saved to Him. Say amen. So I don't know how we get this idea that those of us who are saved can still live like the world, when that has nothing to do with what Christ was doing on the cross. Just as the Passover lamb to the nation of Israel was a symbol of separation, Israel leaving that old life, leaving that old environment, and they were not to return to Egypt, so too Christ is that which separates us from the world. Say amen. So that night, that Passover night, was the night in which Israel's freedom was secured, right? And they left Egypt. And that's why Christ, who is our Passover, died on the cross 2,000 years ago. In dying on the cross, He severs our connection to the world and to worldliness, and He frees us to enter into a land of promise. Say amen. We have been rescued from bondage. We have been delivered from captivity. We have been freed to enter into rest with Christ. Amen. Now, remember when the Israelites were to leave Egypt, God tells them that they are to take only unleavened bread with them. And not only that, they were to look throughout their entire house and they were to find every bit of leaven left and get rid of it. They were to look in the crannies and the crevices and the corners and they were to get rid of every little bit of leaven that they had in their house. They were not permitted to carry one little ball of leftover dough outside of the land of Egypt. Why is that? Because God didn't want any remnant of Egyptian life carried into this new freedom that the children of Israel were going to enjoy. The lump, the leaven, represented old life in Egypt. And they were leaving that behind. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In fact, God went even further. You remember God told the families in Israel to kill a lamb, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and then eat the meat. And if there was any meat left over, what were they to do with that? Pack it up and take it with them? Nope, they were to do what? Burn it. They were not to take anything out of Egypt. The leaven then represents something of the old life taken and put into the new. No unleavened bread. When you leave Egypt, you leave with no leaven. Search your house. Make sure you don't carry any of it out accidentally. Find every bit of it. Get rid of it. It's a symbol of the old patterns of your life. Things are going to be new. So there's total separation. The Passover lamb signaled separation, and the death of Christ signals separation because Christ is our Passover lamb. Christ makes a separation. He dies on the cross to separate us from sin. He dies on the cross to separate us from the world. He dies to free us from the bondage of sin, to release us to a life of holiness. That's the idea of Christ being our Passover. Say amen. He has died to separate us from sin and the world and the system of the world and freed us to worship and walk with Him. Say amen. That's the idea. It is the separation confirmed in the death of Christ as our Passover lamb. Now let me hit one further point here. And that would be the separation continued. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread was one of the seven major feasts that Israel celebrated every year. And while the Passover lamb signaled the separation of the Israelites from Egypt, it was the unleavened bread that celebrated that particular separation. The death of Jesus signals the separation. The unleavened bread or the unleavened church or the unleavened Christian continues in that separation. So let me back up. When the Passover lamb was slain and the blood applied to the doorpost of every Israelite home and the death angel passes over that night and they are safe from death and they are freed now to walk with God, was that for one night? Was that for two nights? Was it for a week? A month? A year? How long? For the rest of their lives. They were not to be separated for a night. And oh, they wanted to go back, didn't they? But God took them out of Egypt, and they didn't go back to Egypt. So the separation that Christ wins on the cross is something that continues in the life of the believers. Amen. If He is your Passover. If He is your Passover. If He's not your Passover, then there's no separation. Say amen. No continual separation. So therefore, in verse number 8, what does Paul say? Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We live this life, this side of the cross, this side of salvation, unleavened, not leavened. Now listen, I could go into all sorts of things and all sorts of behaviors and all sorts of ideas and thoughts and understandings that I had before I got saved. But I'm not supposed to live that way anymore. Say amen. I'm not supposed to think that way anymore. I'm not supposed to behave that way anymore. It would be wrong for me to drag that into this new life. Say amen. Because I'm going in a different direction. I'm walking to the beat of a different drum. I have been changed. Say amen. And so I'm to keep this feast not with old leaven, not with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, continue the celebration of your separation. Say amen. Isn't that what these feasts are about? A celebrating that God had delivered His people from Egyptian bondage. And if Christ is our Passover, as the Passover lamb was the Passover lamb for the Israelites, should we not also celebrate? We have been separated. Let's continue to live without the leaven of malice and wickedness or evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth or goodness. Let's live our lives so that our lives are seen biblically as good, not evil. Let's not drag in old leaven. The church then here is seen as a lump. The church is to be unleavened. That is, there's not to be a combination of something new and something old. Say amen. We are just new. And what Paul says here, there is no place in the new for the old. Say amen. There's no place in the church for the thoughts and the behaviors and the ideas that Mike Belcher had before he got saved. Say amen. No place in it at all. There's no place in the church for what you thought and what you understood. And how you behaved before you got saved. So what's he saying? This guy in the church who is having a sexual relationship unrepentantly with his stepmother, that's what you do as a lost man. It has no place in the church if that man has been new. Say amen. The church is to be unleavened. It's not new and old, it's just new. Walking in newness, walking in the newness of Christ, according to the statutes of the Word of God. There is no place for the old in the new. And the reason here for discipline in the church is clear. If you turn a blind eye to sin, if you allow sin in the church, it will only spread throughout the church. Say amen. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you're disputing the Word of God. Say amen. If we turn a blind eye to sin, it will only spread throughout the church. It will infest the church. It will ferment the church, and it will cause the church to decay and corrupt. So, you see these churches, they spring up, and they may seem successful for a while, and then all of a sudden, it'll split, it'll fall apart, and somebody will say, well, The reason that it fell apart was such and such and such and such had an argument and they busted up the church and couldn't get over it. Or they say the pastor did this or the pastor did that or the deacons did this or the deacons did that. But you know, that may not be the reason at all. It may be it was corrupted because it tolerated sin on the inside. And that sin and the spread of that sin just sucked the life right out of the church. I want you to notice something. There was an inseparable connection in the Old Testament between the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what I mean by that is this. You couldn't celebrate one without the other. You couldn't celebrate the Feast of the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread without the Passover. Say amen. The celebration of one always involved the celebration of the other. If you defiled one, you defiled the other. Now let me flesh that out for you. We cannot say that we have been saved by the blood of Christ and then not also be sanctified. It's an impossibility. You can't claim Christ as your Passover and not celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Somebody help me. We can't say that Christ is our Savior and then live like the world. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that this man is known as a brother. But he's also known as a fornicator. You can't be a brother and a fornicator. Say amen. You can't. There could be no Feast of Unleavened Bread without the Passover. And because there was a Passover, there must also be the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what do? We come to church, we celebrate that we have been delivered, that we have been rescued, that we have been saved, that we have been separated from sin and from the world. And the church, us, we are holy because, are you listening? Because the cross of Christ is the power that makes us holy. If we have been separated by Christ, our Passover, He is making us holy. He is making us more like Him through the process of sanctification. Say amen. And the reason why there are folks who claim to be Christian, yet there is no holiness in their life, there is no sanctification in their life, is because they never were saved by the death of Christ. Say amen. Because they go together. The power of the cross of Christ makes unholy people walk in holiness. Ezekiel chapter number 37, God promises to put a new heart, take out the old heart, put in us a spirit, so that He will be our God and He will cause us to walk in His statutes. That's what the Bible says. So what makes us walk holy? The cross makes us walk holy. What Christ did on the cross makes us walk holy. Our holiness is purchased by the cross of Christ, and it is applied to the people of God and is typified or evidenced by the continuance of our sanctification. And I don't know how long a person can go playing a game. I don't know how long a person can say, yes, Christ is my Passover. How long they can continue looking as if that is true until one day it's not. Let me give you an example. There was a book that came out in the, I guess, the 90s. I thought it was a great book. The name of the book was When I Kiss Dating Goodbye, written by Joshua Harris. Josh made a lot of money off that book. He rose pretty prominently in the realm of famous, desired preachers. He was under C.J. Mahaney in Kentucky at Sovereign Grace Church. C.J. Mahaney left. Joshua took over. He was a pastor of that church. So here is a young man who claims that Christ is his Passover. He has written this wonderful book. He is now pastoring a church. He then pastors for about 10 years, resigns, goes back to seminary. And then a couple years ago, he recants writing that book. He says he probably shouldn't have wrote that book, that it wasn't a good thing that he wrote that book. 2 weeks ago, he announced him and his wife are divorcing. Yesterday, he announces he's leaving Christianity altogether, that he never was saved. You see, that's not the way it is, to come in and out. No, if you have Christ as your Passover, He will sanctify you all the way to the end. Say amen. I'm saddened by that. In his Instagram announcement, he apologized to the LGBT whatever group that he had hurt them over the years, and he was sorry that he had hurt them and had been so dogmatic against them. And you ask, where did that come from? What happened? Well, apparently he was playing the game. In golf, and I'm not good at golf, there's a saying, it's not how you drive, it's how you arrive. I'm here to tell you, it's not how you drive. It's not how you get started in the Christian life. It's how you arrive. You can start gangbusters, but 30 years from now, are you still going to be walking with the Lord, serving the Lord? You will if Christ is your Passover. Say amen. So those released from the bondage of sin always continue on the path of holiness. Christ is our Passover, and therefore we keep the feast with sincerity and truth. Say amen.